who were announced as 19th day of the session, March 9, 2006. Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Dalton. Here. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Pupils. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Day. Gilmore. Hickory. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Bastard. Pinkley. Eichel. Illoy. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Martin. Nagomi. Purser. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Henderson. Peterson. Bill. Powers. Warburg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Zemlek. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker. Goggles. Hageman. Harvey. Harvey. Harvey excused. Landon. Nagomi. Morgan. Morgan excused. Osborne. Osborne excused. 58 present, 4 excused.
Thank you, Madam Assistant Chief Clerk. Today's prayer will be offered by the Reverend Mark and Bob Gerard, representing the First Presbyterian Church. Please welcome.
Let us pray. What a privilege of the full Lord in life it is, Lord God, to begin this meeting by praising you and seeking your help. We thank you, Lord, for calling these women and men to serve you and their fellow citizens of Wyoming by bearing such enormous responsibility for our safety and well-being. We are grateful to you for their families, who have given up precious time with them so that they could look after the rest of us. We praise you for your presence and steadfast love in the past 3 weeks in giving these representatives guidance on bills, budgets, and the future of the state. Continue to lift them up. We fill them with energy and clear thinking on this long stretch of the session. Help them to know that what needs to be completed, that what needs to be saved for next year. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
There's announcement. A great way to start the day with such a warm feeling of camaraderie and friendship. Mr. Meeting Clerk, would you please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. Speaker, the Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 8, 2006 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Goggles, Representative Thomas.
Thank you. Our doctor of the day is Jerry Calkins, MD of Cheyenne. And actually, we have two doctors of the day. Jeremy Eaton, a student at the UW Residency Center here in Cheyenne. Please welcome them if they're here.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of days ago, we talked about the blue books, which are on the history of the state of Wyoming, the legislature, and the governor. We've got four sets of those books over. We can get more. There are six books in the set. They're $87.47 a check, a set, and checks can be made out to the Wyoming State Archives, and we'll make sure that if you want them, getting the checks, we'll make sure that you have the set before you go home. The second thing, if the legislature stays in session on for Saturday and you choose not to go home Saturday because of weather or whatever, and I know some will not, there's an excellent Cheyenne Symphony on Saturday night. I do have some brochures. If you're interested, why feel free to see me. And since my wife is the executive director of the Cheyenne Symphony, I have to do this. Actually, I don't. It's going to be a wonderful symphony. It's called From Russia with Love. It's some great music, so feel free. We'd love to have it.
Thank you, Representative Galloway. Representative Goggles.
Mr. Speaker, members of the floor,
please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 58th, it's my privilege again this morning to introduce some of my fellow tribesmen from the Northern Arapaho tribe, the Whatever Country. On my left in the gallery, Mr. Howard Brown and Mr. William Cedar. Let's welcome them to the audience.
Thank you, and welcome to the House. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative of the floor.
Please proceed.
This is the last chance for the Race for the Cure. Specifically, the Speaker said to remind him that he hadn't gotten his in. As soon as his check comes in, we will run through the top of what we did last year. And so I'm reminding him at this time, the rest of you, why I have it still on your desk, turn it in to me today and get in the door. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman Lockhart. It's certainly a worthy cause. Now that order of business of requests under action on a concurrence request. The first message we'll deal with is message number 224. The message to request with Senate amendments to House Bill 13. Chairman Wasserberger, do you care to move that concurrence request?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence reports on message number 224 and ask you to vote aye. Mr. Speaker, this is the most amazing amendment I've ever seen the Senate do. It is an example of the incredible intelligence of the Senate. And you just can't believe how hard they worked on this amendment. I'm sure that it took them several hours. On page 2, line 1, after department, they said, of education. And on page 2, line 12, after department, they said, of education. And Mr. Speaker, I have never seen the Senate be more brilliant than this. And I ask you, please, vote aye.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, you're voting on whether to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 13 as outlined in Message 224. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rendell, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Pay. Gilmore. Hingory. Bubbles. Higaman. Hammonds. Marshman. Harvey. Bastard. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Landon. Lockhart. Ludlow. Martin. McCauley. Mercer. Miley. Miller. Morgan excused. Olson. Osborne. Henderson. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Horbert. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Swanitzer. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Robinson, no to aye. Samuelson, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 13 as outlined in Message 224. Next message for our consideration is Message 225, request to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 22. Chairman Anderson, would you care to move that concurrence?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Message Number 225 concerning House Bill 222, ultimately library funding, request that you vote no. What the Senate did to this bill was, again, kind of micromanaging a department that pretty well managed their own affairs up until now, and now we want to go back and make it exclusive without any variations of whatever money would happen to go into this fund to Multilane, where our amendment on the bill said Multilane or other transportation needs as they may arise.
Request. Seeing none, you are voting on whether to concur with message number 225, which deals with Senate amendments to House Bill 22. The recommendation is to vote no. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barber. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Ewolds. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Day, Gilmore, Hingory, Douglas, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Garvey, Castert, Hinckley, Eichel, Galloway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludlow, Martin, McCauley, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan excused, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Alden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 2 ayes, 56 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 22. Conference committee will be appointed later in the day. next message for our consideration is message 228, with concurrence requested to Senate amendments to House Bill 80. Chairman Landon, would you care to move that concurrence?
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence to message number 228 concerning House Bill 80 and ask for your favorable consideration. What the Senate did here is add some language to the reimbursement for OBGYN services. The House Committee had a lengthy discussion on how we could use Medicaid payments to drive quality improvements for safer delivery and healthier babies, and the Senate found that language to start the process. And in order to be eligible for these increased reimbursement rates, which we increased from around 70% to up around 90 to 100%, is that they needed to offer their patients or refer their patient for prenatal health programs. So with that, I would ask for your aye vote.
Any other discussion? Any other discussion? We're voting on whether to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 80. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Agby. Barner. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Buells. Childers. Mr. Majority Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Marshman, Harvey, Bastard, Inkley, Eichel, Dillaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludlow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Wiley, Miller, Morgan excused, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Korberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlet, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Flusserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 80. Next message for our consideration is message number 229, dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 81. Chairman Landon, do you care to move that concurrence request?
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence to message 229 concerning House Bill 81. This particular bill deals with providing loans to physicians to buy tail insurance if they lose their medical malpractice insurance. The loans are provided at a rate of prime rate. It might even be prime rate, but plus 1%. I can't remember. So there, it's not a losing situation for the state. The Senate found that the original figure that was included was more than what the anticipated loans might be, and so they lowered that down, and I would request that we confirm.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, you're voting on whether to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 81. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Agby, Barner, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Eichel, Dillaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludlow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Wiley, Miller, Morgan excused, Wilson, Osborne, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Musselberger. Watt. White. Sponsor. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 81 as outlined in Message 229. Next message for our consideration is Message Number 230, dealing with Senate amendments to House Bill 91. Chairman Field, do you care to move that concurrence request?
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on Message Number 230 and ask that you vote aye. And Speaker Pro Tem, also Chief Counsel of the Appropriations Committee. And also, House Chairman for the mental health and substance abuse select committee will explain it.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The significant amendment to House Bill 91 was the Senate Appropriations Committee amendment that essentially reduced the two pilot projects the bill has for acute psychiatric care services, crisis care beds, and a social detox from two pilots to one pilot project, and that's how they achieved some reduction of the appropriation. It also reduced the tobacco quitline dollars in the bill, but their last amendment restored $1 million to that program. So, I urge concurrence.
Any other discussion? We are voting on whether to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 91. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Holden. Anderson. Baby. Barger. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Bastard. Hinckley. Eichel. Gilloway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Ludlow. Martin. McCombie. Mercer. Hiley. Miller. Morgan excused. Olson. Osborne. Harrison. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Torberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Swanser. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 91. Next message for our consideration is Message 234, concurrence request for Senate amendments to House Bill 12. Chairman Field, do you care to move that concurrence request?
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on Message Number 234 and ask that you vote aye. And this is on the development of preschool funding bill, House Bill Number 12. The first bylaw, they just switched some language around there and made it sort of flow better. On the second part, they took out to, in the middle of the page where it says delete there on page 4, lines 22 and 23, and page 6, lines 19 to 24, they took out the appropriation for administration. And I know that the department can handle this within their existing appropriation, so that's okay. On the last part there, all that does is makes it so that instead of rolling over in their standard budget, the department would have to bring that forward in an exception budget request. And that just makes it more visible for the JAC to see what's happened there. So I ask that you do concur. Stand ready for questions.
Is there any further discussion or questions? Seeing none, you're voting to, rather to concur with Senate amendments in House Bill 12. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Day. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Pastor. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Vanden. Lockhart. Lucknow. Martin. Montgomery. Mercer. Wiley. Miller. Morgan excused. Olson. Osborne. Harrison. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Gorberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Smonitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 12. Next message for our consideration is message number 235 regarding Senate amendments to House Bill 92 as outlined in the message. Representative Osborne, Chairman Osborne, do you care to move concurrence?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do. I move concurrence on message 235, which applies to House Bill 92, quality child care. The Senate, and I urge you to vote no. The Senate passed, considered, I'm not sure if they passed all of the group, but 9 amendments to this bill between readings 2 and 3, but addressing 6 of them actually passed, I guess. Some of those are probably okay, some of them are cleaned up, but there are several that are egregious bill killers, as far as I'm concerned. They moved the responsibility for the management of the program from the Department of Family Services to the Department of Workforce Services. That may work, but I want to hear how it's going to work. They dropped the federal poverty level from 250% to 185%, and that may be okay. They invented a thing called a grievance board that would meet once a month to hear complaints about the system, and that just doesn't make any sense at all to me. While we're in the first year, at least, it may afterwards, but the first year would be a terrible bother to putting this together. There's very little funds left to do the work in this coming year. They deleted all of the legislature fines type of clause in the bill that was put in specifically at the recommendation of our LSO attorneys and the Attorney General to make the bill less vulnerable to constitutional challenge. They deleted $12.5 million that our Appropriations Committee had put in, but on reserve for the first year, and that takes a lot of motivation out of everybody that's going to work on this thing, and we should not do that. I guess that's the main point. Those are the main points, and I would recommend very strongly to vote no on this.
Any other discussion? Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I also would ask everyone to vote no on this. This is not the bill we sent out of here, and there's two good reasons.
this is your chance to prove it, because the conference committee could come back and make it better again. So either way, your best option is to vote against this thing.
Any other discussion? Any other discussion? We are voting on whether to concur, pardon me, Representative Wiley.
Mr. Speaker, thank you, and I would also encourage you to vote no on this concurrence. One of the things I would request, if this passes, or if it's a no, the conference committee to consider would be to put this in the Department of Education rather than Family Services or Workforce Services. Thank you.
Any other discussion? We are voting on whether to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 92. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Escobel, Gay, Gilmore, Kingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Fastert, Inkling, Eichel, Dillaway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, excused, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Selleck, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hammonds? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 4 ayes, 54 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 92. A conference will be appointed later in the day. Next message for consideration is message number 236. Concurrence requested on Senate amendments to House Bill 139. Chairman Wasserberger, would you care to move this concurrence request?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 236 to House Bill 139 and ask you to vote aye. Briefly walk you through this. I will walk you through the standing committee amendments in the Senate first. And actually, on your bill, in your bill on page 53, the Senate added the National Board Certified Teacher Payment Reimbursement Program, which is outside of the model. So if a teacher is nationally board certified, they will receive $4,000 for that. And that is a 10-year certification. And then in 10 years' time, they have to recertify. The second thing that the Senate did in the Senate Education Committee was they had added the hedonic indicator to the regional cost adjustment. So now we have three pieces in the regional cost adjustment. So it's a district gets the hedonic indicator, or they get WCLI, or they get 100% or greater. So they get whichever is better, more expensive for them. That's for us, not for them. And then lastly, they took out the amendment that was placed on third reading over here that moved money to the districts. There was concern that there would be some cash flow problems with that. Then on the Senate floor, the good majority floor leader over there, Vice President of the Senate, change the way we deal with our small, extremely rural schools. So if you have a school that's under 49 students, that school, instead of receiving one teacher to seven students, they will receive 1.5 teachers to every seven students. And that targets Washakie number 2 and Sheridan number 3. Also, standing committee amendment from the good chairman of the Senate Education Committee on page 54. They changed the date that the National Board Certified Teachers would be paid or reimbursed from January 15th to February 15th. Then also on page 61, this bill has a multitude of studies that will keep the Joint Education Interim Committee extremely busy. And it was felt that the $250,000 for the studies was not enough, and so they increased that to $350,000. And finally, on page 67, the Senate actually put an amendment to bring the Bureau of Indian Affairs schools into our school funding model, and that essentially is really only one school, which is St. Stephen's. St. Stephen's has always been a private school, and the other Native American schools have actually been within inside our model for many, many years. So this is a study that will be done to try and bring that school in. Everybody's in agreement on it, and I think that essentially tells you all the different amendments of House Bill 139, and I would ask you to vote aye.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
I'm sorry, can you clarify the issue about the National Board Certification payments? Was that part of the Senate amendments? As you went through them, I heard you discuss it, but I can't see where that is.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That is actually, I'm sorry, I didn't explain this very well, I guess. When the bill came out of the standing committee in the Senate, they went to substitute bill number 2. And so everything that was done in the standing committee was put into another engrossed bill and adopted on the floor of the Senate. So you can actually find that on page 53. Over to page 54 to line 17. And that is a $600,000 expenditure. And then the substitute bill went from the Senate committee to Senate appropriations and then to the floor.
Mr. Speaker, is there anyone else for their second time? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Why do we need to bring those into the model? Those were outside of the model. Are those school foundation program dollars, or the foundation dollars that are going to that? Or are we institutionalizing the foundation dollars and just replacing those?
Members, is there anyone else for the second time? I am going to stretch the second time rule just a little bit to allow that to be answered. But is there anyone else for their second time? First time? Chairman Wasserberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Senate has accused me of schizophrenia with half my brain. I really can't answer that at this time. Well, that's not true. Actually, this is foundation fund money, and it really is the continuation of the National Board Certification Program that we started in cooperation with the Elwogan Foundation 2 years ago. And so the program is growing so fast, the Senate Education Committee added it in, and it is outside the model. You must have proof of board certification, and then you request it, and you are reimbursed on February 15th.
We are voting on whether to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 139 as outlined in Message 236. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingrey, Buggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Hirschman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludlow, Martin, McCauley, Mercer, Wiley, Miller, Morgan excused, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Fellers, Kerber, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanenser, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 139. Conference Committee for House Bill 22. Anderson Chair, Gay, Powers. Conference Committee for House Bill 92. Harvey Chair, Davison, Osborne. Now that order of business of consideration of bills on third reading and final passage. Consent list, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the following bills to a consent list for third and final reading, consisting of Senate File 33, Senate File 38, Senate File 51, Senate File 70, Senate File 77, Senate File 86, Senate File 88, Senate File 91, Senate File 99, Senate File 101, Senate File 105, and Senate File 107.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Does anyone wish to remove any of those bills from the consent list? Seeing none, Mr. Reading Clerk, would you read the bills on the consent list?
Senate File 33, introduced by Senator Guys, acting to the Department of Agriculture Biosecurity Laboratory Task Force, and acted by legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 38, introduced by the Mineral Committee, and acting relating to environmental quality, solid waste, landfill planning, and monitoring. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 51, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health hospital improvement grants. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 70, introduced by Senator Pick, an act relating to public health nursing care facility construction. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 77, introduced by Senator Sessions, an act relating to certified public accountants. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 86, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to higher education, dealing with the higher with the appropriations for the Hathaway Student Scholarship, and an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 88, introduced by Senator DeCary, an act relating to school finance regarding local tax payments, and an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 91, introduced by Senator Job, an act relating to the Wyoming Retirement Act, service purchase credit, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 99, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to the civil procedure dealing with the Wyoming Structured Settlement Protection Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 101, introduced by Senator Ullman, an act relating to peace officers and emergency medical, emergency responders, defendants, tuition, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 105, introduced by Senator Mopler, an act relating to the Wyoming Criminal History Record Act, criminal background checks, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 107, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to fire protection districts and their powers, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Eichel. Illaway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lugnut. Martin. Macomi. Mercer. Miley. Miller. Morgan excused. Olson. Osborne. Anderson. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Thorberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Sendlick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Gordon. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Swanenser. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 33, are there any changes? Swanenser, aye to no. Oh, conflict. Swanenser, conflict. Macomi, aye to no. Alden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused, 1 conflict. As to Senate File 38, are there any changes? Dirks, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 51, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 70, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 77, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 86, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 88, are there any changes? Gilmore, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 91, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 99, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 101, are there any changes? Buholz, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Alden, aye to no. Rectal, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 105, are there any changes? Gilmore, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 107, are there any changes? 107. Alden, aye to no. Harburg, aye to no. Rectal, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 3 noes, 2 excused.
Having received the vote of the majority of those elected to the Wyoming House of Representatives, Senate Files 33, 38, 51, 70, 77, 86, 88, 91, 99, 101, 105, 107 have passed the House. Representative Patterson.
Mr. Speaker, may I come to the floor?
Certainly may. Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, it is very often that a member of my family comes down to the legislature, but it is not very often that you have the opportunity to have this particular one visit joining us today in the North Gallery is my sister Valerie, who's home taking care of my mother this week. So please welcome her.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Thanks for coming down. Representative Zwanitzer. We're now in that order of business, a third reading and final passage of bills on the regular list. First bill for our consideration is House Senate File 34.
Senate File 34, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, relating to the reorganization of the Wyoming Livestock Board, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 34 does have an amendment. Representative Zwanitzer, do you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 34 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. I wanted to have a discussion on what we're doing here with this bill and try to get some questions answered. 2 years ago, the legislative and executive branches had a discussion. This body approved the creation of the new position for the Livestock Board, that of Deputy State Veterinarian. Now we're back here 2 years later and we're being asked to approve another director position for an agency of 17 people. Currently in the Livestock Board, there's a state vet, a deputy state vet, an agency business manager, and 4 innovation administrators. There are already 7 managers for an agency of 17 people. The other staff are a couple of fiscal people, 3 grand reporters, some clerical office staff. And there's a couple of people working for the Livestock Board on federal funds as well. So we continue to have all these discussions in state government on how not to be growing state employees. And I can't quite understand why we're giving another director job to us, an agency of 17 people. I know this agency has had some trouble. The governor did have to bail them out of a financial crisis last year, and I assume this position and the creation of this position is in response to that. However, the way the position is structured, the director still serves in the Department of the Livestock Board. The person is not accountable to the executive branch, it's not accountable to the legislative branch of government, it's only accountable to the Livestock Board, which is only quasi-accountable to this body in our appointment process. And the way this bill got amended in this body, it now allows a statement to be fired without cause, which gives the Livestock Board even more power. And so if the director position we're creating is serving at the pleasure of the state vet, and the Livestock Board gets rid of the state vet, quite often the director position would go out the door as well, and the new state vet would get rid of and put a new director. So I just feel this would cause more harm to the agency in the long run than any help that we could be giving it. I don't feel the creation of this position gives any benefit or solve the current problems that we have in this agency. And in fact, it causes possibly greater harm. And I know, most of you all know, I do work for the Department of Ag, so I don't think I'm too biased, but I do have a closer view kind of what goes on in this agency week after week. And I guess I don't believe 2 years ago we gave them a new administrative position. Last year, we threw a heck of a lot of money at them to bail out of crisis, and I don't think we need to be throwing more money at them this year, because throwing money at them is not going to solve the problem, and I would stand for any debate that people like to get.
President Simlock, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. I urge you to support this bill. This bill was a result of your work, and I mention it because I should try to convince that all interim work bills, need to be passed by both houses. It's just that there's been a lot of opportunities with interim work and with the subsequent legislative process to go into the details of this bill and provide opportunity to get an amendment, get a change, if there's things you don't like about it. And I really think that the concern is being brought by the good representative from District 43 has to do with the details of the bill, and I'll just encourage us as we work through this process. We have a lot of pride in is that if we have some concerns about the details of the bill, let's deal with those details through the process. The conceptual problems that we have with bills, we certainly can bring a third reading amendments to delete and talk about it then. I don't disagree with the concerns that the good representative brings about, the efficiencies in our workforce. But I would push back and say it's certainly not just a problem with one agency. We should be taking a look at the workforce efficiencies and the way our administrative levels are developed. throughout all of our agencies. So, and the last point is, I guess, we did come together and agree, prior years that our state boundary responsibilities have really increased substantially with the concern that we have with a variety of livestock and wildlife diseases that affect our very important agriculture industry in this state. So we did push forward with increasing the level of scientific expertise in the livestock board, and that's important. And these positions and these men have spent a lot of time out in the field, and perhaps there is some work that's not getting done back home. So that's why we asked for this director's position to come in and help take care of the work in the office. And let's let our state veterinarians go out and do the good work with the science that they need to do. So ask you to support this bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Hageman, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I would urge you to support this bill and defeat this amendment. This is a department that sadly has had a big workload thrust upon them in the last few years that they never ever had before. They're having to take in horses that are abused and quite a bunch of them at different times, and all of that takes management, and we just simply have tried to give them the tools to manage this department in a much more efficient way. We did have one person to the last year assistant veterinarian, but the problems have increased so dramatically for this department, and that's what we're trying to do. We did quite a lot of studying on the interim committee, and so I urge you to support this bill and defeat that amendment.
Representative
Phelps,
for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I ask that you support the bill and defeat the amendment. It was mentioned that there's only 17 people in this agency. However, there are a lot more than that, and there are 98 contract employees who are our grand inspectors. And one of the reasons for the bill is that with the federal issues that deal with disease, and especially with livestock ID coming down the road, we need to deal with those livestock ID issues and let the state veterinarian deal with the disease issues. And they are interrelated, and that's one of the reasons that we need this position in that agency. And they are controlled by the citizen board, which is a good thing. I served on the livestock board at one time, and it's a very difficult job when you start regulating your peers. But they are doing a good job, and we're working to address a lot of issues, both within the state and federal issues that are coming at us. So I'd ask you to support the bill.
Representative Powers, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess the amendment for the bill, reiterate what's been said, but there are a couple of things I would like to bring to your attention, is that we lost a state vet not too long ago. Mainly we lost him because he was overextended. It's very hard for a veterinarian to be out in the field taking care of things like brucellosis, really amplified the problem that we had in that department. It has brought us around to the point where we need an office manager so that the veterinarian can be in the field. Also, we're being added in that department. We're having added responsibility added to it because of the homeland security problem. We're needing to protect the food chain and livestock and agriculture industry is very important to our state. So therefore, I want to encourage everyone to defeat the amendment and support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time? Second time, last call. Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just quickly respond to some of those comments. There are three or four people in this agency who are working out of federal funds who do address the animal ID issues and all the federal regulations are coming down the line, these contract employees, most of them are veterinarians, and they really don't need supervision, at least in my opinion. I think what really concerns me of this bill more so than anything, I do like most of it, but we're adding another layer of bureaucracy, but we're not adding any accountability to the agency, which I think is what we need to be doing. So with that, I would withdraw this amendment.
We are voting on third reading and final passage. Let's start over again. Senate file 34, having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Agee, Barnard, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Ewaltz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Day, Gilmore, Hingory, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Hirschman, Irving, Bastard, Hinckley, Eichel, Bellaway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lucknow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, excused, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate File 34 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 34 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health and safety medical specialty centers, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 57 has a few amendments. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 57. Representative Lucknow, would you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment, or third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 57. I know that this is the last day, the last reading, but to my way of thinking, this is probably the most important thing that I will say on this floor this session. Healthcare spending in Wyoming is up $500 million since 2000. When you think about that in perspective, that's one halfway endowment per biennium. We've got a changing healthcare environment, and we need to be ahead of the curve when assessing those healthcare needs. The trends are dramatic, demographic aging. If you pick up this week's U.S. News and World Report, you will find an article that says that Wyoming is a new retirement mecca. We've got drastically growing uninsured and underinsured population and dramatically increasing populations in that area. We have a disproportionate distribution of providers. And Senate File 57 looks at the effect of competition between public and private hospitals. And that doesn't seem really to address the real concerns that we have here. And I thought long and hard about this, and I think it's time for the people's body to take the lead on where healthcare in the state of Wyoming and healthcare expenditures are going. What this amendment does is it removes provisions in the bill that require an assessment of private hospitals providing indigent care as a matter of regulation. It removes the part of the bill that requires an assessment for regulations regarding competition and allows the free market to work in that regard. What it adds is looking at trends and demographics for hospitals and medical specialty centers. It adds looking at the needs of our population so that we know where we're going in the future. It asks the Healthcare Commission to prepare a plan or were some recommendations to this body on how we can best spend our scarce resources in healthcare, and it asked for suggestions on how to make our specialty hospitals and regular hospitals more efficient in allocating our scarce healthcare resources. The state of Wyoming is not in charge of healthcare, but at $1.2 billion per biennium, we are a significant player in the game. We can't keep throwing money at this problem and hoping that it goes away. We need to provide ourselves a compass and become forward-thinking on healthcare. Because if we don't, healthcare is going to break the state of Wyoming. So, what this amendment asks this body to do is to broaden the scope of this study to prepare a plan. Because if we don't have a sense of direction on where we're going, we're certainly not going to get anywhere. I urge passage of this amendment.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am in favor of the amendment. The good representative from Gillette, who is the sponsor of this amendment, I know has a great deal of knowledge about this particular area, and I agree with him in that we need to broaden the look and look towards the creation of or a development of a plan here to really figure out where we are headed. SFL 57, I'm sure you've all been lobbied one way or the other on the bill, if not both ways on the bill. It's got some potential philosophical issues about who do we regulate and why do we regulate and why would we want to regulate. And when we have a free market system, and I have come down on the side of going ahead with the study rather than voting against the bill. And because of this amendment, on the Health Care Commission, I know that there are some members of the legislature who aren't thrilled with what the Health Care Commission does or that it has become, in essence, a permanent commission. And there are some issues there, but this is an opportunity for the House of Representatives to ask them to look at a broad policy question here rather than some of the more specific issues that we've delved into in terms of tort reform, risk retention, insurance, and those types of things. This goes to the broader area of how do we deliver healthcare services in Wyoming. It is a broad amendment, and the broadness of its scope does not bother me. And I think the Health Care Commission can take a look at these things and help us achieve a better idea of where we're headed in Wyoming and to address some of the issues that are in Senate File 57 about specialty care and indigent care and trauma care and all of those issues. Thank you.
Representative Jorgensen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It just makes me nervous when we get to the last day and we get additional legal descriptions and definitions to look at in a very important but somewhat complex issue. And as I believe I stated before in speaking to this bill, we are in the business of health care in this state as a public responsibility to some extent, whether we like it or not. But that involvement is growing. We just passed on third reading consent agenda, hospital improvement grants. We've done trauma assistance. We've done work in a town that has a correctional institute, which in effect is providing some hospital facility. So it is important. It's very important. I agree with the direction of this. I will ask you I appreciate the work that the Wyoming Health Care Commission has done, because I believe it has a disinterested look at issues that are of paramount importance to this state and very expensive and growing, as has been mentioned. As to this amendment, problem with going so far as to develop a business plan for a specific element. But I think it's acceptable because we do need to move ahead. And I look forward to a report that is directed and motivated by the interests of the state of Iowa and the citizens of the state of Iowa. So I would urge you to support this amendment and the following amendment. And I'll speak to the third one later. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do appreciate the work that's gone into this amendment. We talk about our state responsibilities and our legislative responsibilities. In addition to those that have been mentioned, public safety is a primary issue for us. And I think this is a good improvement in the bill and would urge your support.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Escobar.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, for the amendment, just looking at it very briefly, I think it's quite good in terms of the opportunities that we have in the area of healthcare and what some of the barriers might be. I would hope that this study would look at some of the other areas where we can provide medical care that sometimes is overlooked. I often make the comment that there's some level of society where the only segment of the population that is guaranteed a certain amount of medical health care is the prison population. And I would hope that maybe we can look at some of these, the totality of the health care system that we have in this state, because certainly it makes it very hard to look at. I'm going to call it from that for bringing this amendment forward. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? First time? Second time? Second time, last call. Representative Lovell. Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate File 57, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. We're now on third reading amendment number two to Senate File 57. Representative Lockhart, do you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a second reading amendment to Senate File 57 and urge your support. After seven sessions down here, this is my first third reading amendment, so that's something that I don't do lightly. As you may recall, when the bill was introduced, I had a question about the very broad provision on the original page 4, line 5, OSP. Any other issue the commission considers appropriate as being a very broad delegation to this commission. The amendment before you focuses it back on what we're trying to do here and is consistent with the second reading amendment. And I urge your support of that. And the point I'd like to make in addition is that when we draft legislation like this late in the game, you can get those kinds of broad looks when you put it in a narrow look, and you get narrow looks when you have a broad look. That's something that we have to be a little careful of, but I urge your support of this amendment because I think it clarifies and focuses better what I think we expect from this bill should it pass.
Representative Lyman, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure this amendment is an improvement. I'm not sure that it's even possible. Predicting the outcome of certain actions is an uncertain science. We have heard of medical centers, specialty centers that have been formed in some areas that have actually increased the business that's been available to the hospitals that were there. So I think it's difficult to predict just what's going to happen in these and create models that are going to turn out to be true. But primarily, the reason that I'm concerned about this is that when it speaks on page 4, lines 5 and 6 of deleting what we just adopted. That looks to me like we're deleting lines 15 through 27 of what we just adopted. And those particular items deal with looking at how we're going to
provide, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have to state your point.
I don't believe the third reading amendment number 2 does affect those lines. It states in the second and third reading amendment number 2 that it deletes the left down third reading amendment to lines 5 and 6, which in the bill are just 2 lines. Any other issues the commission considers appropriate, and it does not affect the third reading amendment number 1, lines 17 through 27.
Please continue, Chairman Lyman.
Mr. Speaker, as my 1.5 time at the speaker or at the microphone, on the Lucknow amendment, it says delete entirely and insert. My concern was if the language in the second amendment, which says delete entirely, is if we also are inadvertently deleting the language that says and insert. And if we're doing that, I think we're deleting some very important parts of the First Amendment. And so that's my question and my concern with opposing this particular amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Lucknow.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know what you call this, maybe a point of order. I'd like a ruling from the chair, or maybe a description from the sponsor on just what this amendment does, particularly the part of second or third reading amendment number 2, lines 4 through 6, that says page 4, lines 5 and 6, delete entirely, including the Lucknow third reading amendment to these lines. And I don't know if that means just delete the language on page 4, lines 5 and 6, that says, or reinsert the language on page 4, lines 5 and 6, that says any other issue the commission considers appropriate, and then leaves in all of the language from line 15 to line 27 of third reading amendment number 1, or does it delete all of the language on third reading amendment number 1?
You requested a ruling from the chair. The chair has a magical ruling to solve this problem that came out from the side. The chair would recommend that the body consider deleting in the third reading amendment number 2 the words following entirely, delete including the Lucknow third reading amendment, Senate File 57H3001-ACE to these lines. That's been a recommendation to clarify that.
Mr. Speaker,
for your first time.
So the amendment is to delete the word entirely after the word delete.
Excuse me, the recommendation is to delete the words after entirely.
Okay.
So the words that would be deleted are including the Lucknow third reading amendment, SF0057H3001/ICE to these lines.
Mr. Speaker, did I request a division on third reading amendment number 2? The first division would be lines 4, 5, and 6, and the second division would be the rest of the amendment.
That is divisible. We're on division 1, which is lines 4, 5, and 6. There's not been an amendment to those lines, so it would be as is in your second reading amendment.
Third reading amendment number two.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown, for your first time, what would you like to discuss?
Mr. Speaker, on Division 1, I make a motion that the that all the language following the word entirely be stricken.
As an oral amendment from the floor, is there a discussion on that amendment? We're voting on the amendment to delete the words following the word entirely on lines 4, 5, and 6 of third reading amendment number 2. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. That wasn't your first time. Do you wish to discuss now division number 1, Representative Brown? Continue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as I understand it, with division 1, we would delete the language from 116 through 27 of the 11th amendment, that the third reading amendment number 1. Am I correct?
The way the chair reads third reading amendment number 2 deals with page 4 of the bill, lines 5 and 6. And therefore, it would be lines 5 and 6 in the bill that are now left to be deleted. Exact. Would you like a follow-up, Representative Brown?
Well, I would, Mr. Speaker, if I could figure out what to ask.
Okay.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Wendell, for purposes of explanation or discussion.
This is just a point of order.
Point of order, procedure point.
Third reading amendment number 1 deleted lines 5 and 6 of the original bill. So I don't know what it is the first division is that we're deleting, or if we can do that. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Landon.
In hopes of providing some clarity, I would suggest that what's left of the first division, which is lines 4 through 6, is actually... We've already done that in the previous amendment, so I would suggest that we can dispose of the first division just by voting no, and then return to the second division, and it looks to me like that might need just to have a slight amendment to change that little 5. But other than that, I think that would be
it. I believe you finally hit the nail on the head with that. With all the amendments here, I think I agree with your interpretations. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, you have a different interpretation. The question has been called on whether or not to adopt Division 1, which are lines 4, 5, and 6. On Senate file, on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 57. Representative Walker, would you care to add any additional thoughts on that division?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge your vote on division number 1 because it was intended to clarify what we were doing, and that's replacing some language with the language that starts on line 8 of the amendment number 2. So if we vote that down, then we're back to the replacement language that has apparently already been deleted by the corrected copy, amendment number 1, one there, line 15. So I think this clears it up. There was no intent here to confuse people. It was to replace one line with a little more focused challenge to the commission, so I urge you to vote no on division number 1 and yes on division number 2.
Question being called. All those in favor of division number 1 to third reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 57,
which consists of lines 4, 5, and 6, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. Amendment is not adopted. That does help when you get all the different amendments up here. We're now on division number 2, which is the remainder of the amendment. Representative Lockhart, would you like to discuss division number 2 for your first time?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe that this replaces that very broad language that was not consistent with the title of the bill as much as so it does relate to both the bill itself and the amendment, the reading amendment number 1 that we just read, so I urge your support of amendment number 2. But in conclusion, I think this shows what happens when you're making changes very late in the game to the bills.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is an improvement to the bill and a friendly amendment.
We're voting on division number 2, the third reading amendment number 2. You have Senate File 57. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. We're now on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 57. Representative Dillaway, would you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 57, and I will remove it at the appropriate time. I think this is probably a very far-reaching bill. It's absolutely important, and it needs to be discussed a little bit further. The chairman of the Labor Committee has worked long and hard on this bill, but I've heard some rumblings in the chamber, and I think it is time to make sure that we know exactly where we're going. It is important. It's my understanding to state first that no other state other than Montana, the one to the north, has ever imposed a moratorium on specialty hospitals. And that state's was enacted in 2005 and is currently set to expire in 2007. Very interesting, they find that no recommendations have come out of what they did for 2 years. They just stopped everything for 2 years and didn't do anything. But that, I believe, is a clarification. I guess I don't understand why we need a statute to do something when we have a health care commission that is currently sitting there. They are studying all kinds making all kinds of studies. Why do we need to create another statute? And then I noticed that we're going to spend another $250,000 or some odd amount to study this. And quite frankly, I hate to say this, but isn't this just kind of a local issue for the center of the state? We don't have another specialty hospital in this state. Haven't heard of one. Can't we just let the commission go ahead, study it, and make that determination, whatever they want to do? And I guess I've read the proposal several times. I'm just not sure that anything is really wrong with licensing. I mean, here's a hospital that wants to come in. They're going to pay taxes. They're going to do some really good things. And I'm not sure why we're standing in their way. Again, it looks like we may be putting the camel's nose in the tent. I'm not sure we really want to go there. And you all got this from a learned outfit. It's from a former legislator, and I don't know enough about legislative law. I don't know enough about the law itself, but this particular handout makes some thoughts and says, are we not binding future legislatures to do something? And I'm not sure that we totally want to do that.
I'm not sure that you can bind future legislatures. So I just want to let you know I'm not going to vote for this bill, but I thought it's important to go ahead and discuss it. I will withdraw that amendment at the appropriate time, Mr. Speaker.
Representative, somebody else for the first time. Representative Wiley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure you've all been lobbied by different factions on this particular bill, members of the 58th. And I think, as we were talking about, as the former speaker just mentioned, that there's questions about what all these laws are involved and whether we're in what we're doing with this. I am against the amendment and for the bill. I really think we need to study this. I think we need to find out what the ramifications are. Under the Burton Act, which was passed a long time ago, hospitals were built, and all of our county hospitals were built with those funds. We're required to provide emergency room care for anybody that came to their doors. Now we are beginning to change this as we look at where we're going in the future, and this involves the whole state of Wyoming. This isn't just one area, this is the whole state of Wyoming, and I think that we need to look at this. We need to remember that we are a frontier state. You talk a lot about rural states. In rural states, hospitals are 20, 25 miles apart. In frontier states, hospitals are 100 miles apart. And so as we pass things, we need to realize what are the ramifications to those hospitals. And one of the things that we always talk about is the golden hour, which is the first hour after an injury or an attack or something. So that's golden hour, but we need to be sure that we reach critical care within a timely fashion. And we need to look at the whole reimbursement system. And folks, the reimbursement system for health care is totally out of control because the people who are receiving the services are not paying for it. So I think we need to study this, and that's where I'm coming down. And I would recommend that you pass the bill against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Jorgensen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'm glad we're at this point, and I guess it just shows what happened to me. I count five attorneys involved in one of these discussions 10 minutes ago, and our chairman of our Judiciary Committee, who I don't believe is an attorney, was able to focus us for a few minutes. The big doctor mentioned the fact that this is a frontier state as far as the way of health care goes. I think we need to keep that in mind. We need advice. We need advice that's generated by folks with an interest in the health of the citizens of Wyoming. And that's what we'll get, and I look forward to it. I urge you to defeat the amendment and support the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Lucknow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to clarify, and I guess anything worth debating is worth over debating. There is no moratorium in this bill. The study's been broad enough to find out where we're going. And I asked this body to think back to just a couple years ago when we had a hard time figuring out how many physicians were actually practicing in the state. We didn't even have that information. We need to know where we're going. We need to get a compass to get there. And finally, with respect to the distribution we received, that said that subsection G somehow binds successor bodies. With all due respect, I believe that to be a red herring. There's no binding of any successor bodies at all. And so on and against the amendment for the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Michael.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I just want to clarify a couple of things. And one is that it's simply a study. And I like how it's now been outlined through the amendments. As far as the Wyoming Healthcare Commission goes, it's typical that they have received assignments by virtue of statute recommending that they work on such and such a study, and that's no more than what's happening here. In the studies that they work on, those matters that they work on, they do in depth. They're thorough, they explore the models, they look at prior experience elsewhere perhaps, and then they come back to the interim committee and they recommend certain options that might be available, but they do not say you better have a law like this or not. And we need to know that. And ultimately, we have such a broad experience now with the Healthcare Commission's work. I'm just totally convinced it will be as thorough as that which we have received before, some of which we act upon and some of which we don't. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, when we first started hearing this bill in committee, I wasn't so sure about it. But I have to tell you that as we look further down the road, I think what we're really asking for in this study is how is it going to affect the medical community the way it stands today? What is going to be the effect of that? Why would we not want to ask that question? Do we think that this might have an effect positively or negatively? How are we going to know if we don't look at it further? I think more than anything, we need to understand what's it going to do to the emergency medical care that we have. It's probably the most vulnerable and easiest to collapse in our whole state. In fact, the federal government recognized this when they designated rural hospitals critical access. They understood the need for the critical access to emergency care to the citizens of our state. But we need to further understand that. That's what this bill is asking. How is this going to affect what is happening today? A lot of people in our state depend on one particular hospital for emergency medical care. They have the triage at their critical access hospital, and then they go elsewhere. The question is, are they going to go in-state or out-state? Are they going to come to the center part of the state, or are they going to go to other states that surround us? And I think that it's important for us to understand that if we collapse one fragile emergency room, we may affect the whole state, and we may profit other states. I think this is worth looking at.
Representative Anderson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one comment on studies that we often need and often use. However, select committees and studies have a tendency to predetermine the outcome and then pick those kind of people that will come up with that outcome. I'm not too sure this isn't another one of those. I speak in favor of the amendment in opposition to the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Representative Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Responding to the bringer of the amendment, the first question is why have a statute? The Wyoming Healthcare can do it on their own, but they really don't. They haven't been funded for this. They haven't been given this as a priority, and as a priority item, it needs to get done quickly. And that's, I think, in response to our public safety requirement that bears on the legislature at all times. The local issue is a question. I think that's been explained, but just to reiterate, this is the first one. It isn't the last one, so we need to get this whole issue looked at and find out if it is broken. There may not be any problems, but there could be serious problems. Not sure of the licensing. I'm not sure what that question was, but we license all these facilities, and I guess what we need to do is to find out with this type of facility, what is the licensing that needs to be done? Is it just a general hospital licensing requirement, or is there something special about it? And I don't know what we're talking about when we say binding future legislatures. We're running a study with this. We'll get the report back before the next session. If there are any requirements,
requirements and we prepare the statutes for the changes.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time? Last call for second time? Representative Hogan.
Mr. Chairman, I think the discussion has been good. It's been worthwhile. We've all learned a little bit. I think it's important to take a look at these things. I just did not feel that we needed to spend, maybe we need to spend the money, but we didn't need to create a whole new statute and all of that. I don't like it. It feels to me that it's kind of fencing. It's kind of fencing things out. I don't like those type of operations, whatever the will of the body is. It's been a good discussion. I withdraw the amendment.
Senate Bill 57 have been read three separate times. The question is, should the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Thagby. Barton. Berger. Rectal. Brown, Buchanan, Mules, Childress, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Kingery, Foggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Barbie, Astrid, Hinckley, Eichel, Hilloway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludenow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan excused, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Conflict, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Samwick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanser, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the book. Are there any changes? Mr. Minority Floor Leader? No to aye. Robinson? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 34 ayes, 23 noes, 2 excused, 1 conflict.
I've received the affirmative vote of a majority of those elected to the House. Senate Bill 57 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 58,
introduced by the Labor Committee, and it relating to public health and safety regarding child health insurance program amendments.
Senate Bill 58 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Anderson. Bagby. Parler. Berger. Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Hewalts, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Hinckley, Coggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Eichel, Hilloway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludenow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan excused, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Peterson, Phil, Phil, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Samwick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Smolitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Philp. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate Bill 58, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate Bill 58 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 98.
Senate Bill 98, respects Senator Scott, regarding health insurance, regarding small employer carrier reinsurance being enacted by the legislature of Iowa.
Senate Bill 98 does have an amendment. Representative Illinois, do you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the third reading amendment number one to Senate File 98, and I will remove it at the appropriate time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure what this bill does. It looks like it's trying to combine bananas and apples and oranges together. And try as I may, and I have tried to read this bill several times. It does refer to Title 26 of the Insurance Code, but it appears to me that it's mixing a whole lot of bananas and apples and oranges together, and I'm not sure that's what we really want to do. I'm not sure that you want to mix. You know, insurance is not just insurance. Insurance has property and casualty, it has life insurance, and it has health insurance, and it has some other insurance. And we're asking those other insurance carriers, the property and casualty and so forth, to fund the health insurance, to fund this small insurance. And it does not appear that that's really what it should be intended to do. You've got some consequences where some of those property and casualty companies are, quite frankly, out of state. They would pay, but they don't get the same premium tax. It's a higher premium tax. The other thing with this bill, there's no representation on the board for those other insurance companies. They're just said you got to pay into it and take it. I don't think this is fair, and quite frankly, I don't understand the law. There's adequate insurance. So my understanding from the insurance commissioner, there's adequate insurance. There's adequate money in the fund now. Why are we doing this?
Representative Barton, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to support this bill and oppose the amendment. And I would grant you that this is a very complex thing. And I would apologize to the body. I tried to explain the other day when we were under the time constraints a very complex bill in a very short time. And I appreciate the fact that we're even here to be able to discuss that you would give us this other opportunity. The point that I basically want to make is this is very complex. We're dealing with taxes on premiums, then we're dealing with a board that creates an assessment that looks at what to do with those taxes. Then we're talking about rebating some of those taxes back to certain insurance companies. Then we're talking about using some of the money to buy reinsurance for people that are at risk in not having health insurance. Then we've added on a special administrative fee to this tax to try to hold the insurance companies harmless and reimburse them for their money and for their time. It is extremely complex, but I think the bottom line and the thing that I hope you would consider is this is just one more way that we can get health care to those people in our state that don't have it now. And we do it through their small employers, which is one of the groups of people that find it hardest to provide health insurance. There's no question that this is apples and oranges. But I would propose to you that getting the different kinds of insurance companies that aren't health companies involved, they still have some skin in this game. to say that life insurance companies don't have an interest in the health of the population, I think there is a connection. And to say that perhaps the casualty or the property insurance people don't have a say or a stake in the health of the companies that they insure, I think there is a nexus. And this is a broadening of the program. We're going from health care to all insurance companies, but it's not a new tax. And the people will, the companies that collect this tax and use it to promote this reinsurance, they get all the money back, and the amendment has even given them a handling fee for doing that for us. And so you received a thing from the Lodging and Restaurant Association. Small business needs help in being able to provide health insurance. And this is one way to spend a little bit of our money to try to do that broad goal. And I would encourage you to support this bill. Representative Michael, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, had to read this a number of times, and it was in our committee. And I believe I can break it down in a simplistic way. Points 1 to 6, each one sentence, I think, and that might be dangerous to try to take something down to sound too simple. I appreciate the questioning of this that the amendment states. Number one, this enlarges the reinsurance pool, which we already have in Wyoming. Number two, it brings more employers into the pool, and that's a thing that's desirable. Number three, by putting more money into the pool, it makes insurance more likely for those who are uninsured. Number four, but it has to raise assessments in order to do that, has to increase assessments. We already have assessments of the insurance companies in the state in order to have the reinsurance pool. This expands on those assessments. But number five, so the companies already are funding the reinsurance pool. But they are compensated for that assessment by relief on their premium tax, as on page 3, small letter D, lines 17 and 18, allowed as a credit against any premium or retaliatory tax owed by the member under this code. So that is something that we have. It's something that insurance companies are used to. The assessment is increased, and everybody shares in it. Who's in the insurance world, it expands health cover, it expands coverage, and that's a desirable thing. I ask for your defeated amendment and support of the bill. Thank you.
Representative McCombie, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this bill has been around before, but Mr. Speaker, the insurance companies themselves didn't voice a lot of vocal opposition to this bill. Their biggest concern was when the timing of the payback, when they start getting their money back, could be delayed. There could be some cash flow issues, but they weren't sure, and we never did get an answer on that. So, given the cost of health insurance, and given the cost to our Medicaid programs in the state of Wyoming, our Title 19, if this is a way that we can help some of these people get some coverage and take some of the pressure off, maybe this is something, another step in trying to do some cost containment. So I'm against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Miley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I understand that
this is going to increase the amount of individuals who will be able to get health care insurance. And I think that's important also, as I understand, it increases the assessment. I guess the one question I would like to know, will this make insurance premiums less expensive for the employees that are working for a small employer? If I can get a question. Thank you, Mr.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time, Representative Barber.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to the question from the doctor, my understanding, and again, this is a very complex thing, and I'm certainly not an expert in insurance, but the problem right now is that there is not enough money in the pool, and that causes the premiums to be higher. And so it's harder for the small employers to pay those premiums to get their people into the pool, the reinsurance pool. By putting more money into the pool, it would be able to, my understanding is it would reduce the rates. And therefore, the answer to the previous question would be yes, it should be able to reduce the rates that the employers and the employees pay in these small businesses. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time. Representative Galloway for your second.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to reiterate again, if we go ahead and mix these apples and oranges, these different insurance companies, there are certain insurance companies in property and casualty and so forth they should be represented on the board. They should certainly have a say in what's happening with the money. Sure, this is going to enlarge the pool, but is that the correct way to do it, to take an apple or an orange and go ahead and try to mix them and put them in the same pool? I note that on one of these handouts, it said about $16 million is returned annually to the general fund from all insurance plans, and this just diverts some of those funds being reverted to the general fund by putting them in the reinsurance pool. I just think this, we're going down another long road. It's very creative, but I'm not sure that this is totally fair. I think, if anything, the bill ought to fail today and come back in the general session with a little bit more work, with a little bit more input from the insurance industry, and see if there's something that can be done to solve some of those problems. I do not think that it is a finished piece of work. It's probably rotten, the whole thing. We don't need to do that. It's entirely too complicated, and I really fear for where we're going with this. And with that, Mr. Speaker, against the bill, I will pull the amendment.
Senate File 98 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Holden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Mules. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davidson. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Astert. Hinckley. Eichel. Galloway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Ludlow. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Miley. Miller. Morgan excused. Olson. Osborne. Patterson. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Corbett. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Samwick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Sider. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Ott. White. Swanitzer. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lucknow, no to aye. Martin, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 ayes, 13 noes, 2 excused.
Senate Bill 98, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of those elected to the House, Senate Bill 98 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 100.
Senate Bill 100, introduced by Senator Bob's Act relating to education, college aptitude test payment, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate Bill 100 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Magby. Barnard. Berger. Rechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewalds. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Hay. Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Hirschman, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley, Michael, Billaway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lovno, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Eiley, Miller, Morgan, excused, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Kelp, Powers, Horbert, Mr. Minority Formulator, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlek, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Alden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 50 ayes, 8 noes, 2 excused.
Senate Bill 100 had received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House. Senate Bill 100 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 106.
Senate Bill 106, introduced by Senator Mockler, and I'm donating to the Wyoming Pharmacy Act immunizations by pharmacists, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate Bill 106 does have an amendment. Representative Wyland, do you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I move to read Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 106. And what happened when this went through General File, it went through pretty quickly, and I felt we needed just a little more discussion on this. As you recall, as it was stated, this is an old friend that's been around for quite a while. I didn't like the old friend last year, and I guess I have to say I still don't like the old friend this year. The bill, I think, does have some good intentions, and I certainly have talked to some pharmacists that feel like this is very important. One of the things it does do, it does increase access for immunizations. And I know one of the societies to which I belong is okay with this particular bill. I have the same problem with the bill that I had last year, and that is, number one, I have some concerns with pharmacists giving immunizations. I'm always concerned if there is some sort of untoward or anaphylaxis reaction as to how that will be handled and whether it's safe to do that. That's with my personal medical hat on, with my public health hat that I wear occasionally. One of the things that I think you need to realize is that many of the public health clinics around the state, that they have these public health immunizations, and this is primarily for influenza. These are primarily flu clinics, and a lot of them make a good amount of their revenue out of this. So they are giving immunizations
which helps them fund their clinics. And I think we're running those opportunities for them. And there may be arguments about that, but I just am concerned about that. So for those primary two reasons, I'm not in favor of this bill, and I just wanted to present that so that you could think about it. There is one third thing that I wish that we could do something about, and that is we have, at least in our area here in Cheyenne, we have a lot of individuals who come up from out of state and go to one of the local big chain grocery stores and give immunizations, flu immunizations. And one of the things that bothers me is they'll tell the people who are walking through the grocery store, you really need a flu shot. And they said, well, why? And they said, well, don't you get cold sometime in the wintertime? Well, yeah, well, so you need a flu shot. Well, that's not true. Influenza just for three times of flu. And so I've got some problems with that. But anyway, that's my take on the bill. I'll pass it on. I'll let you all vote your conscience. And I will, Mr. Speaker, I'll vote on the amendment whenever you think it's appropriate. Representative Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge the body to resist this amendment and support the bill on a couple of different issues. It used to be that when you went to get your health care taken care of, you go see your doctor and they tell you what your ailment is, and then you go to the pharmacist and they tell you what to take for that. The difference between that and now is only who subscribes to prescription, the training that goes into it. It is still the same. Pharmacists are trained to do all of these and measure amounts and measure dosages and give all the feedback. They know a lot more about a lot of this than many others in the medical community know. This is somewhat of an innocuous inoculation bill in that 40-some-odd other states have this already on their statute. We're not breaking new ground here. I think this is fairly common practice, and I think that you'll find a lot of support for this, and we've already identified the needs within our communities in areas that are for this. So I would urge you to support the bill and defeat the amendment.
Representative Harvey, for your first time. Oh, pardon me. Mr. Minority Floor Leader, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, in support of the bill, I generally don't want to do anything that's going to diminish the health care system or the quality of health care in this state. I don't believe that this does diminish the quality of health care. I think it's going to help it. If you look on page 2, lines 3 through 7, it says the board, in cooperation with the state board of medicine, will adopt rules and regs governing this. So you're going to have cooperation between these two boards that come up with which immunizations can be given and rules that they can be given under. I think that there's going to be enough safeguards there to take care of any problems that you may have in that area. We've also heard over and over again that we have a rural, if not frontier, state when it comes to health care. And this, I think, will help the delivery of health care in this state, and that people may be able to get to pharmacies to get some of these immunizations, basic immunizations, and it won't be all of them, that they wouldn't possibly necessarily get if they had to travel 50, 60 miles, whatever it is, to the nearest doctor's office to get it done. You can call in. Mr. Speaker, I guess I'll stop there instead of repeating myself.
Representative Brown, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, in favor of the amendment and against the bill, ladies and gentlemen, this is an old friend. I don't remember precisely what our old friend was worded last time, but I don't think it was exactly this way. There's one word in here that bothers me a whole lot. Page 1, line 13. It says a pharmacist can prescribe and administer immunizations. And I have to disagree with one of the previous speakers. It's not that this bothers me, because we're no longer in a situation where a doctor analyzes what's wrong and then a pharmacist addresses it. We now have a pharmacist analyzing what's wrong and prescribing an immunization. And if a pharmacist is going to prescribe an immunization, that is an integral part of that in the prescriptive. It has to be an analysis of the other medicines that the individual is taking, their special and unique health considerations, whatever they may be, and whether this immunization is proper for that individual or not. And that bothers me a whole lot. I do not like that word prescribed in there, and I would urge you to support the amendment and defeat the bill.
Representative Childers, for your first time.
Well, Mr. Speaker, considering what you perceive from many federal health-related things, they encourage people much older age to take these top shots. And that word doesn't bother me. The only thing that would bother me, and the good representative from Cheyenne may have brought up some points that may concern us. I guess I'm curious for a flu shot like this, what is a typical reaction time? If it's a long reaction time, and you have time to get to the doctor without too much worry, or if it's a slow time reaction, then I guess the bill doesn't present a problem. As an individual that's been on allergy shots for years, and quite frankly, my wife is quite pleased because I can mow the yard. Otherwise, I'd have to stay inside. I mean, it's always been a problem for me, and allergy shots have taken care of that. But with those allergy shots, the doctor prescribes, again, that if I ever have a reaction, simply all I have to do is provide myself a shot. If flu shots fit in the category, then it's going to take a long time, and you have plenty of time to get to the doctor, or a pharmacist has something to counter that reaction, then this bill is fine. It's a way to help people get the shots that they need that are recommended by the federal government and by many, many physicians. But then, what the bill is,
Representative Robinson, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, the speaker from Laramie said that we were going to let pharmacists decide what was wrong, which would give you the idea that pharmacists are going to make diagnoses that could be further from the truth. Immunizations aren't for what is wrong. Immunizations are to prevent what could happen. And I think this bill is a matter of access, and I would encourage you to support the bill.
Representative Hargett, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good comments. I really appreciate the comments. The first thing that I need to point out is that pharmacists are trained to give immunizations, and that is because most states allow pharmacists to give immunizations. Right at the university in our state, they train them to give the immunizations. The Board of Medicine and the Board of Pharmacy are going to promulgate rules and decide under what conditions the pharmacist will be giving the immunizations. The most common immunization we're talking about is the flu shot. Only 37% of healthy adults in Wyoming receive a flu shot. A lot of it is timing, access. This is going to improve our access to flu shots, to immunizations that the Board of Medicine and the Board of Pharmacy decide are appropriate for healthy adults. Now, when I go to the public health nurse, she asks me a series of questions, and one of them is, are you allergic to eggs? And I have to say yes, and she won't give me the shot. I have to go to the doctor to get my flu shot because I'm allergic to eggs. The reaction is mild, and it's very far in between. But I'm sure that through these rules and regs, that they won't be much different than they are at the public health nurse. If you have reactions or allergies to certain components of the immunization, then the pharmacy won't be able to give you that shot, the pharmacist. One of the best reasons to pass this bill is in the event of a pandemic flu, we would have multiple points of access. If we have a pandemic flu breakout, we would be able to go to our local pharmacy, healthy adults there, and healthy and adults,
go to the local pharmacy and receive their immunization. I would have urged you to vote aye. I don't think that we're being sheep in following other states. I think that we're being careful in our analysis of this. But I would say to you that this is a way for access, and I would urge your aye vote on this bill.
Anybody else for the first time? First time. Representative Lovell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This innocuous inoculation bill is important in intercepting increasing instances of influenza.
Second time. First time. Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, just very quickly, if you consider the word prescribe all by itself, that would bother me also. But when I look on the first page, lines 12 through 14, it says a pharmacist licensed under this act may only prescribe and administer immunizations recommended for healthy adults as authorized by the board. That means that it's going to be fairly limited in what they can immunize for. And it's going to be under conditions that are prescribed by the board, which would be done in cooperation again with the Wyoming State Board of Medicine. So it's a limited program for things, as you've heard, like the flu vaccines. I don't see this as getting into prescribing or diagnosing any other illnesses for the bill.
And I'll try the second time. Representative Wiley, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You've heard my arguments both last year and this year, so I will not repeat them. In regards to the question regarding the timing for anaphylaxis, if you remember, a lot of times when you go to get your immunizations, they'll ask you to wait for 15, 20 minutes, and that's usually the time period in which a serious reaction will occur. And a lot of times, if you're truly allergic, it'll just take a few minutes for you to have a reaction. But I've stated that this does state that this is just going to be for healthy adults, and hopefully people know when they're healthy or not. Mr. Speaker, vote your conscience on this. You know I'm a no vote on it, but vote your conscience and I remove the amendment at this time. Thank you.
Senate Bill 106 has been read three separate times. The question is, should the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Agby, Warner, Berger, Rector, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Michael, Elway, Jackson, excuse, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Wiley, Miller, Hargan, excused, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Bill, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Spodetzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 47 ayes, 11 noes, 2 excused.
Senate Bill 106, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate Bill 106 has passed the House. Now, the order of business is messages from the Senate.
Message number 219, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills as to vote by the vote indicated. Senate File 71, Medical Practice Act Amendments, ayes 30, no 0, signed, I am Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 220, Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senator Tom Freeze to meet with the High Committee Number 1 from the House on Amendments to Senate File 18,
the Senate conferees are Senator Guy's chairman, Senator Scott, Senator Nicholas, Sinai, and Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message 221, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills as to by the vote indicated. Senate 449, ignition interlock devices, eyes 28, nose 2, signed down, Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message 222, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills as to by the vote indicated. Senate 421, pardon requirements, eyes 29, nose 1, signed down, Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message 223, Mr. Speaker, the bill's list below passes Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 8, Select Committee on Developmental Programs, eyes 29, nose 1, signed down, Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message 224, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 13, Special Education Funding, the House Bill listed above passed on the third reading in minute form as follows by the vote indicated. Eyes 30, nose 0, signed down, Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message 225, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 22, Multi-Lane Highway Funding, the House Bill listed above passed on third reading in minute form as follows by the vote indicated. Eyes 30, nose 0, signed down, Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message 226, Mr. Speaker, the bill's list below passes Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 36, Childhood Immunizations, eyes 30, nose 0, signed down, Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message 227, Mr. Speaker, the bill's list below passes Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 39, Wyoming Livestock Board, eyes 26, nose 4, signed down, Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 228, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 80, Medicaid reimbursement for obstetric services. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in minute form as follows by the vote indicated. Eyes 29, nose 1, signed down, Harvey Senate Chief Clerk. Message 229, Mr. Speaker. House bill number 81, medical malpractice insurance account. The House listed above passed on the third reading in amended form. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 230, concurrence requested, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 91, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form item as follows by the vote indicated. Eyes 29, nose 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 231, Mr. Speaker, the bill's list below passes Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 123, Tax Refund to Elderly and Disabled. Eyes 28, nose 2, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 232, Mr. Speaker, the bill's list below passes Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 124, Low Income Energy Assistance Program. Eyes 28, nose 2, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 233, Mr. Speaker, the bill's list below passes Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 133, Board of Education Staff Support. Eyes 29, nose 1, signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 234, concurrence requested, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 12, Developmental Preschool Funding. The House bill passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Eyes 29. Conflict on the Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 235, concurrence requested, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 92, Quality Child Care. The House bill listed about passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Eyes 17, nose 13. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 236, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 139, School Finance Amendments. Sub 2, the House bill listed above passed on the third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Eyes 27, nose 3. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 237, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 87, Board of Education Membership, eyes 30, nose 0. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 238, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 90, Revisers Bill. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Aye, 0, nose 30. making the Senate request the House appoint a Conference Committee Number 1 to meet with the Light Committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Evan Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading. Clerk, Conference Committee for Senate Bill 90. Peterson Chair, Thompson and Allman. Now the order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The first House enrolled act for consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 12.
House Enrolled Act Number 12 being original House Bill Number 8 and Act relating to administration of government.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 12 being original House Bill 8.
Be enacted by the legislature of the state of Iowa.
I'm so sorry. Next Enrolled Act is Number 13.
House Enrolled Act Number 13 being original House Bill Number 36 and Act relating to health care providing for state funded vaccinations for those minority children who are not eligible, children under federal vaccines, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Iowa.
About to sign House Enrolled Act Number 13, being House Bill 36. I have so signed. Next Enrolled Act is 14.
House Enrolled Act Number 14, being original House Bill 39, and Act relating to the Wyoming Livestock Board, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Iowa.
About to sign original Enrolled Act Number 13, being original House Bill Number 39. I'm so sorry. Next Enrolled Act is 15.
House Enrolled Act Number 15, being original House Bill 123, and relating to tax refund for the elderly and disabled program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Iowa.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 15, being original House Bill 123. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 16.
House Enrolled Act Number 16, being original House Bill Number 124, and Act relating to public assistance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Iowa.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 16, being original House Bill 124. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 17.
House Enrolled Act Number 17, being original House Bill Number 133, and Act relating to the Wyoming Board of Education, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Iowa.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 17, being original House Bill Number 133. I have so signed. Next up, the Senate Enrolled Act Number 25.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 25, being original Senate Bill 47, and Act relating to public health care providers, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Up and signed Senate Enrolled Act Number 25, being original Senate File 47. I'm so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 26.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 26, being original House Senate File Number 80, enacting the Wyoming National Guard in the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Up and signed Senate Enrolled Act Number 26, being original Senate File 80. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 17. 27, I'm sorry.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 27, being original Senate File 83, and Act relating to public funds being enacted by the legislature of the state of Iowa.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 27, being original Senate File 83. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 28. Senate Enrolled Act Number 29.
About
to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 29, being original Senate File 27. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act 30.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 30, being original Senate File Number 39. And Act relating to fraudulent transfers being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I have to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 30 being original Senate File 39. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act 31.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 31 being original Senate File 69 and Act relating to private school licensing being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I have to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 31 being original Senate File 69. I'm so sorry. Next Enrolled Act is 32.
Senate Enrolled Act 32, being original Senate File Number 2, and Act relating to appropriations for the legislature
I'm so sorry. Senator Roman 33.
Senator Roman 33, the original Senate File 35, enacting the taxation and revenue being enacted by the legislature of the state of Oregon.
Website Senator Roman number 33, being original Senate File 35. I'm so sorry. Senator Roman number 34.
Senator Roman number 34, being original Senate File 16. Enacting the administration of government being enacted by the legislature of the state of Maryland.
Rep. Signed Senate and Roll Act number 34 being original Senate File number 60. I am so signed. Senate Roll Act 35.
Senate Roll Act number 35 being original Senate File 62. Enacting the Family College Savings Program being enacted by the legislature of the state of Maryland.
Rep. Signed Senate and Roll Act number 35 being original Senate File 62. I'm so signed. Senate File 36.
Senate Roll Act number 36 being original Senate File 73 enacted relating to cities and towns being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I have to sign Senate Roll Act number 36 being original Senate File 73. I'm so signed. Senate Roll Act 37.
Senate Roll Act number 37 being original Senate File 120 enacted relating to coroners being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senator Roll Act number 37 being original Senate File number 21. And I've so signed Senator Roll Act number 38.
Senator Roll Act number 38 being original Senate File number 49. And I believe you have a vehicle license is being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senator Roll Act number 38 being original Senate File 49. And I've so signed Senator Roll Act 39.
Senator Roll Act number 39 being original Senate File 71 and that relating to medical practice being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senator Roll Act number 39 being original Senate File 71. I'm so signed. Senator Roll Act 40.
Senator Roll Act number 40 being original Senate File number 87 and that relating to the Wyoming Board of Education being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate and Roll Act number 40 being original Senate File 87. I have so signed. Any announcements? Jerry Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Revenue Committee will meet at 12:30 in our round of meeting with the Senate Revenue for Interim Studies. Could I need to get right up there?
Any other committee announcement? Management Council will meet today upon adjournment at the end of the day to discuss interim topics. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House stand in recess until 2:30 p.m. today.
Heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. So we'll say no. House is in recess until 2:30.